I want to talk to you this morning about a call to be fishers of men, a call to be fishers of men. You know, during this month of February, we want to talk about missionaries. And the truth of the matter is, everybody ought to be a missionary. Amen. I have a fellow that I've been dealing with ever since he was incarcerated, and that was back about 20 years ago. And he was incarcerated for murder, and he was over here at he found one of our tracks, and one of our little chick tracks, you know. And anyway, he called the number on the back, and he said, would you come visit me? And I said, yes, I will. And I went over there to the jail and got in. And believe it or not, I got out, too. That was a miracle, amen. But anyway, I went to the jail and met with him and was able to lead him to Christ. And like I said, you know, he had a very bad history of drugs and all that. He said the last 2 or 3 years of his life were absolutely nothing but fog. He's, I have no idea where I was, what I was doing, or nothing. And so he don't even know whether he committed the crime or not, to be honest with you. But he took the recommendation of his lawyer and went ahead and, because they didn't really have any proof on him at all. But anyway, he took that recommendation and went ahead and said that he was guilty. Hoping that he would get a light, you know, sentence. But at any rate, he ended up having getting life imprisonment. So, so there he is in jail right now. And like I said, it's been like over 20 years or so. But I said all that to say this: he calls me at least once a month and talks to me a little bit and all that kind of stuff. And you know, a lot of times it, that phone bill, boy, they really, it's a reverse, you know what I mean? And it, it's pretty high. So at any rate, I told him, I said, look, I can only afford for you to call me, you know, once a month or something, unless it's something really, really important, you know? And, he said, okay. So, we did that. I said, other than that, just drop me a line, you know, write me a letter or something like that. But, he was really down one day, and I was talking to him, and he said, you know, I don't know whether I'll ever get out of here. And he was talking about, you know, how it was in there and things like that. And I knew that, that it was pretty rough. But I told him, I said, no, wait a minute. Now, I said, you know, you need to buckle up, you know what I mean? And I was trying to encourage the fellow, so, you know, I didn't know really how to do it, but it seemed like the Spirit kind of led me to do this. And I said, wait a minute, don't you understand? I said, you're a child of God now, and you're there because God wants you there, you see. And not that he's punishing you, but that you can be a light in that prison, you know. And I said, you know, that you need to, you're a missionary, you know. And it kind of changed everything for him, you know. Because now he calls himself an evangelist and all that. When he writes me, he says evangelist Charles Hershey, you know, and like that. I don't know who made him an evangelist, but anyway, that's okay. It doesn't matter. But he's looking at things in a right aspect. You see what I'm saying? He's trying to win souls while he's in prison there. Amen. And doing all that he ought to be doing. I told him to stay in his Bible. Stay in your Bible and then witness to everyone you can witness to. If they'll listen to you, if they won't listen to you, there's nothing you can do about it. But, you know, just go ahead and do what you can do. You see, we ought to be missionaries wherever we're at. Amen. A lot of times when you talk about a missionary, people think that you're talking about, you know, going to some foreign country, you know, or something like that. Selling your house, going to Bible college, and then, you know, after that, and go on deputation for 2 or 3 years and get some support and all that, and then go wherever you're going to go and work there and all that. But that's not what it's all about. A missionary can walk across the street. Amen. You ought to be a missionary to your neighbors. You ought to be a missionary to your family. You ought to be a missionary to each and every person, the people that you come in contact with during the day. I mean, you all work on jobs and things like that. I remember I worked for the phone company. I was in Washington, D.C., and I don't know if a handful of people lived down here in Southern Maryland. All the rest of them lived in other places and things like that. And, I'd have never come in contact with those folks had I not been working on a job with them every day. And so we need to witness to them. Amen. And I tried my best to share the gospel of Christ with everyone there on the job and all that. Listen, Jesus is concerned about individuals. He preached to great crowds. This is true. But his message was always to the individual. He's trying to reach the individual. He's trying to encourage the individual. He's trying to build the individual, trying to win them over to himself. And not only that, so that they can go to heaven and trust him as Christ, but also the fact that they can work with him. He can work with them and grow them and help them to do things. He took time to help people personally. Here we see that he's on the stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw the two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and washing their nets. Now, the Bible says here that he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon, and then prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the ships. You see, he was concerned about folks. He wanted to give them the truth and all the rest. His purpose was to transform them and then send them out to share the message of forgiveness to a lost and dying world. This is what he was wanting to do. Well, here I got four things that I want you to see out of this passage of Scripture. The first thing I want you to see is this, that God calls ordinary working people. You know, so many times we get it in our heads, you know, oh, the Apostle Paul, you know, well, he was such a learned man. He knew the Scriptures, and he was brought up in the Pharisees and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, and then he was able to go out and he could speak and all that kind of stuff. Well, you know, the truth of the matter is, folks, God can do anything with anybody. Amen. You know, Moses tried to give God a whole bunch of excuses. I don't know whether you ever read that or not, but right after that burning bush, he's standing there arguing with God about, you know, wait a minute, I can't speak very good. You know, I stutter or whatever, and that's what they say. And, you know, I don't speak very good. So God said, all right, I'll give you Aaron. Well, when it really came down to it, Aaron never said a word. Amen. And it was kind of like me and Robert, you know what I mean? You know, the only thing I just said, yeah, all right, yeah, you're right, Robert. Yeah. I mean, he went on all day. But anyway, we had a good time, and I appreciate that so much. But yeah, you know, the thing about it is we always look at these people, you know, Peter and everything, and we think to ourselves, oh, what a strong individual, you know, what a man of faith, what this and what that and all the rest. Folks, let me tell you something. These people were just common, ordinary people like us. Amen? They weren't nobody fancy or nobody, you know, I'll be honest with you. I probably shouldn't even say this, but I might go ahead and do it anyway. Some of these preachers are so fancy, I'll sit under their preaching and not even understand what in the world they're talking about. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure they know what they're talking about, and I'm sure that the words they're using and everything else are right there in the dictionary somewhere, but but I don't know those things, you know what I'm saying? And I don't need that kind, you know? I like things down to earth. I like to know what's going on. Because I'm just a common, ordinary person. You know what I'm saying? Let me tell you something. That's what God will use. Amen? You don't have to be somebody great and all that kind of stuff. God, all you got to be is sold out to God. And say, God, you go ahead and work in my life. God, you go ahead and do the things that you want to do with me. And I'll yield to you and do what you want me to do and all that. Hey, let me tell you something. God does the impossible. Amen? It's wonderful. It really is. Now, I'm looking at this thing here, and I'm thinking to myself that at least seven of the disciples of Christ, if you go to, you don't have to turn there, but in John chapter 21, it talks about seven of those disciples went fishing. So I guess those men were fishermen, is what I'm trying to say. So God is going after these fishermen. They're just common, ordinary men. They're not learned. They didn't go to school. They didn't. The only school they got was School of Fish. Amen. And that was it. I mean, they knew the waters. They knew the boats. They knew the nets. They knew what they were doing with all this. But you know something? God went after them. Now, one reason why God went after them because fishermen have some qualities about them. Amen. I'm talking about guys that go out there on the water all the time. My dad used to be at awe of oystermen because oyster season, it's freezing cold out there. And those guys go out there and drop those about 20-foot poles and then sit there and tong oysters, they call it. You know what I'm, if you know what I'm talking about, they're great big clamp things. And they do it by hand and everything, then bring that thing up. And then they dump it out, and they get the oysters out and throw the shells back over the side and all that kind of stuff. And they're strong men. Not only are they strong men, but they're men that can endure a lot of cold wind and all that because that's what they do and all that kind of stuff. But here we're looking at these fishermen. Why does God like fishermen? I think because of the fact that they have courage and daring. You know, they'll go out into those waters and wherever it takes to go after the fish and things like that, you know what I mean? Maybe it might be a little bit rough out there that day. The wind might be blowing. There's a lot of waves and stuff, but they still have to do their work. They can't sit back and say, well, it's just a little too windy. I don't think we'll go out today, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Well, you get hungry real quick if you did that, amen? You might get thrown out of your house and everything else, but no, you got to go to work. You got to do things. They can't sit in a nice office like like I'll be honest with you, I worked for Bell Atlantic and Verizon for years, and the first 3.5 years I worked out on the line. I went out and installed phones and things like that, and one area that I was in was GW University. And there's dormitories up there, and I'll never forget this. The way we used to install a phone up there in the dormitories, we'd be up on the third or fourth floor, and I'd say, where you want your phone? They'd say, oh, right over there by the window. I'd say, oh, good, fine. And I'd drill a hole right straight through the window sill, you know. And then I'd reach outside there, and I'd push the wire back in, and throw the whole box outside the window, you see, once I hooked it up and everything. And it dropped down on the ground. Then when I go in outside, and I there was a ring run that would go around the back of the building to the panel back there. There was a big panel, and you could take it back there and find the telephone number and hook it up, and you're in business, you know what I mean? Well, I never forget one day my boss was coming down there looking for me, and he wanted to tell me something. And he used to smoke cigars. He was a big, tall guy. He'd walk around smoking cigars, stand up tall, kind of lean back a little bit, you know. And he came down there, and he was looking around. And I guess he went back to the box. He didn't see me. So he was coming down the alley there. And when he was coming down the alley, I didn't look. I just threw the box out. And that thing dropped down. It hit about two or three feet in front of him. And I mean to tell you, it made a whoom noise, you know. He bit right through that cigar. Yeah, I didn't come down to that. I said, oops, that slipped out of my hand. But anyway, to tell you the truth, these fishermen here, they didn't have it easy. They didn't have it easy, but they were patient. They were patient. You know, it takes patience to go fishing. You know what I'm saying? You got to wait on those fish, amen? They're not going to, you can't make them bite, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Of course, they weren't fishing that way. They were doing it with nets and everything, but there's a time when you can do that. There's determination. They had to be determined, you know. They dropped the nets down. If they didn't get anything, maybe they had to drop them down again, then reel them all back in again and all that kind of stuff. They probably did that all night long. dropping nets and bringing them back up, and dropping nets and bringing them back up. And the Bible says here that they caught nothing all night long. But anyway, fishermen are something that they're really, the Bible tells us here that when they enclosed the great multitude, that the net started to break, and that they beckoned to their partners. You see, they worked together. They worked together. And they had to accomplish a job. You know, when you have nets on the boat, it's not one person that can do that. Amen? If you got those big old nets out there and everything, it takes two or three guys to be pulling that net in and all that kind of stuff. And then when you get it up to the ship, then you got all these fish flopping around inside. Somebody's got to be getting them out while you hold the net and everything, you see. So I don't know how many people were working on that ship, but they had to work together. And folks, let me tell you something. A church has to work together. Amen? A people have to work together. If we're going to accomplish anything for Christ, we've got to work together. We can't have a bickering between us, and we can't have bad feelings and things like that. You know, we need to iron those things out and get on about doing the things that God wants us to do and all the rest. You see, God works with ordinary working people. That's what he does. Second thing I see that God does, and he gives grace and faith to respond. A lot of times you say to yourself, what am I supposed to do? I don't know. What's God giving you grace to do? You know, you ever stop and think about that? What kind of faith? You know, is God building your faith in something? Here we see that that God has given the grace here for them to do some. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, let me tell you something. When he was teaching the people out of the ship, I'm sure that Simon Peter and the rest of those that were workers there on the ship and everything else, they were listening to what he was saying. You know what I mean? You can work on your nets and things like that while you're listening to somebody and hear what they have to say and all that kind of stuff. Good night. Some, you know, Charlie can sleep and still, hear the message and everything else. Amen. So that's what he tells me anyway. Amen. No, I'm just kidding with you. But he preached from the ship. And our Bible says this in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. It says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when Jesus was speaking the word of God there, it was building the faith of those workers that were there. Amen? What a wonderful thing when you know that you're there and you're doing your work and everything and you're hearing what God wants, what God has for us. Well, Peter would have to exercise his faith. And Jesus was preparing him for that. Now look what he did right here. First off, he says to him in verse 3, he says, thrust out a little from the land. He told him to just thrust out a little bit. He got in a boat, and there was a great mob of people there. And he got in a boat and said, move the boat out just a little bit. Just a little bit so, you know, that these folks won't, they'll stay on the shore and everything. I can go ahead and preach to them, talk to them, and things like that. And, a little bit of distance between me and the crowd, you see. And that's kind of what he needed. And he was able to sit down in the boat and go ahead and teach and preach out of that. And that worked out real good. But I want you to notice something else. After he preached and taught, and Peter and them heard his words, then he was able to turn around. You see, he had given him the grace. He had given him the word of God. And because he had those two things, he built his faith. And now he has faith enough to go ahead and launch out into the deep like he tells him to. Now, in verse 4, he turns around and says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, that's really something when you stop and think about it. And, you know, I'll just say this real quick. Had not Peter obeyed Jesus when he gave this first commandment, you know, about just to thrust out a little. If he said, wait a minute, what are you doing? Get out of my boat. You know, I finished fishing. I'm done. And that's all there is to it. You know, he'd have never seen the miracle. No miracle would ever. You know, and a lot of times we cancel out God. I hate to use that term, but the workings of God, because of the fact that we don't show up where we're supposed to be. We're not doing the things we're supposed to be doing. And because of that, we find ourselves not seeing the miracles. You see, if we want the miracles, we're going to have to do it God's way. We're going to have to do what Jesus tells us to do. Now, if he tells us to launch out into the deep, then, folks, we need to launch out into the deep. Amen? And we want to build this church. We want to see folks come. We want to see souls saved. Now, I'll back up and say this. We don't build a church. Christ does. Amen? That's what our Bible tells us. So we're not into building churches, but we are into trying to win people to Christ, at least trying to warn them. Amen? And whether or not they trust Christ as their Savior, that's up to them. But we've done our job. We warned them about the judgment coming, about hell, and you know, that their sins have to be paid for, and that only through the blood of Christ could their sins be forgiven and all the rest. So if we want to see miracles, we're going to have to do something, folks. We're going to have to trust Jesus. This brings me to my next point. Point number three is that they trusted his word. They trusted his word. In verse 5, it says, "And Simon, answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing." Look what he says. "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." You know, that was a good decision. Amen. You know, "I'm tired. I've been doing this all night long. But nevertheless, at thy word, I'm going to let down the net. I'm going to do what God wants us to do." Peter must have been surprised when Jesus took command of his ship and his crew. You ever think about that? I mean, Jesus just came aboard. And right off the bat, he started giving some orders, you know. "Simon," he said, "launch out a little bit from the shore." So he launched out a little bit from the shore. And then after a while, he turns around and says, "Okay." He said, "Now launch out into the deep and drop your net for a draught." And he said, "Okay, I'll do that." Now, the question is, what does a carpenter know about fishing? They don't know anything about fishing. Amen? But we're not just talking to a carpenter. Amen? We're talking about God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and there he was. What Jesus asked Peter to do was contrary to all his training and experience. I was reading in the commentaries on what they were saying about this fishing, because he said he fished all night. They say that there in the Galilean Sea, or in this where they were at, that the Lake of Gennesaret, I mean, they went and the fish only you can only catch them at night. You know, they ran in schools and things like that, and they fed at night. They came up to closer to the shore and all that kind of stuff, so they didn't have to go out into a real deep water and everything else in order to catch fish. And that's the way most of them fished. They didn't wait until, I mean, they didn't fish until later on in the evening. And then they would go out, and I don't know whether they would drop an anchor or what they would do, but they would put their nets out and things like that. And they did that all night long. And they wanted to see some fish, but they didn't get any at all. And that's the way that they had been trained. That's the way, the experience that they, I mean, he's been doing this all his life. And all of a sudden now, you know, not catching anything. But Jesus turns around and tells them, launch out into the deep. Well, Jesus, this is daytime. That fish ain't gonna get in the net. They're not even moving. They're not even doing this or whatever. I don't know what the case may be. But anyway, they were willing to submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. Folks, stop and think about that. You know, when the wind and the sea obey Christ, but mankind seems like they can't do it. You know, the animals, they obey the Lord. They do what God tells them to do. The trees and all that, they start in the springtime. You'll see all of a sudden they'll start budding out and putting out all kinds of new limbs and new little leaves and all that are coming on and all that. Now, the flowers, they all of a sudden down in that ground, you'll have tulips and stuff planted way down in the ground and everything. And if some stupid bowl hadn't gotten it, amen, then you could go ahead. You'll see a tulip come spring, amen. If not, start planting daffodils. They won't eat those. And they're just as pretty, amen, I think. In fact, sometimes I think they're even prettier, you know. Who makes them start sprouting down in the ground like that? You know, who makes them come on up out of the ground and turn around and put a nice, real pretty flower on there? Who designed that flower? You see, there's a God in heaven that does all these things. And you know something? All these plants and all these birds and who tells the birds to start building nests? You see, now, science will turn around and say, well, that's instinct. Well, who put instinct in them? Who put it in them to do this and to do that and all the rest? Amen? Folks, let me tell you something. There's a God in heaven, and God knows what he's doing. And here we see that they were willing to submit themselves to the authority of Jesus Christ. Why? Even though they didn't understand what the Lord was doing, yet they went ahead and submitted to that. Folks, let me tell you something. We, as Christians, we need to submit to Jesus Christ and do what he wants us to do. Amen? In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul says this, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind to that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Folks, let me tell you something. That's what we ought to be doing. Amen. Each and every one of us ought to be saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, yes, Lord, I'll do it. Now, I'm not saying you need to be at the whim of the pastor. That's not what I'm saying at all. So don't get that in your head. That's not what it's about. It's about service that God has spoken to me and is leading me to do this or to do that. And come forward and tell us, you know, God's speaking to my heart about being a Sunday school teacher. God's speaking to my heart about working in the bus ministry. God's speaking to my heart about coming out on visitation on Saturdays and things like that. God's speaking to my heart about this or that and the other thing. Whatever it might be. You see, he burdens your heart about these things. I'll be honest with you. Years ago, I'm talking about many years ago, 40-some years ago, we had moved down here to Southern Maryland and joined a church, Berean Baptist Church. It was up there where that Army-Navy store is. Right there, just before you get to 925 off of 5. But anyway, I was there and I asked the pastor, I said, when are you going to have something for the teens? He said, I had four teenagers at that point, and I was very concerned about it. And I mentioned that to him two or three times, not right off, but I mean, you know, like maybe once and then a month later or something, I said, is there anything else coming up about the teens? You know, you do anything about that? And, you know, he said to me, he said this. He says, Tom, he said, you got the burden. He said, but I can't use you because you smoke cigarettes. He said, why don't you give up those cigarettes? I said, oh, I've tried. I can't give them up. I got so ornery and so nasty and everything else. My wife went out and bought me a pack of cigarettes. But no, the truth of the matter is, I said, I can't get these things up. I want to, but I can't. It just, you know, the craving and everything drives me nuts. And, you know, I'm just unbearable to live with. And he said, why don't you turn it over to the Lord? And I said, well, if you think that'll help, yeah, I'll do that, you know. And so we both knelt down. We were out in the parking lot then, and we knelt down right there, and we went ahead and prayed and turned it over to Christ. And I told him, I said, Lord Jesus, I said, you know I can't do this, and you need to take this away from me. that desire and all that, you know, and everything, it needs to be gone. Well, we got up off our knees and everything, and he looked at me and he says, go home and put a message together for Sunday, a Sunday school lesson for the teens. I said, well, wait a minute, don't you want to wait a while and see if this works? And he said, no, it'll work. He said, you just gave it to Jesus, didn't you? I said, yeah. And he said, well, then go home and put a lesson together. Well, I did. And you know something? To this day, I have not had a craving for a cigarette. I praise God for that. I got so excited about being the youth pastor at Berean Baptist Church and what I was going to do with the teenagers and everything. I had no idea what to do. But anyway, I was excited about it. Amen. And I put together a lesson and came in and taught the lesson and all that kind of stuff. And, man, I tell you, God's good. And I was a youth pastor for 9 years at that church. And but anyway, to make a long story short, what I'm saying is this. All you have to do is submit to God. You see, God does it all. God will do it all. You see, well, I just don't know how to, you know, what God will do it. God will do it. If he calls you, he'll enable you. It's that simple. It's so much. All right, let me look at the fourth thing real quick is this. They responded to the miracle. Look here at verse 6. It says, when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their and their net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Now, look what happened here. There's three things here I want you to see. First off, that they shared with others. They shared with others. You know, I tell you the truth, whenever God blesses us, we ought to be a blessing to somebody else. God doesn't bless us to so we can store things, amen? He blesses us so that we can, that we'll be a river, if you want to use that term. We'll be a well of spring waters coming from us, you know? Blessings coming from us and going to other people, things like that, amen? Sometimes you wonder why you go through such a tough situation. Well, maybe it might be because God wants you to share that with others, that he'll get you through that tough situation. Amen? When you get out the other side of that pipe and you can see some daylight and all the rest, and the sun starts shining again after you've been walking in all that darkness and the troubles and everything else that you've been in, then you can get out the other side and you can turn around and tell people, hey, it's okay, come on. You know, just keep your eyes on Jesus. Follow Jesus, you know, and everything will be all right. Share with others. This is what they did in verse 7. Not only that, but verses 8 and 9, the Bible tells us that they realized that they were in the presence of God and they saw their own sinfulness. Folks, let me tell you something. We need to look at ourselves in the right aspect. We're sinful people. Now you say, well, I'm born again, I'm saved. Yeah, you are, and it's not going to your account, it's going to Christ. But we're still sinful people. Amen? And if you haven't been born again, then you're going to end up paying for your own sins. You say, what do you mean? Well, the wages of sin is death. That means separation. When your spirit is separated from your body, that's physical death. But when your spirit's separated from God for all eternity in a place called hell, that's the second death. And all those that have not trusted Christ as their Savior will go there. You say, by what authority do you turn around and say something like that? You know, they could be good people. They might be religious people. They might be whatever. You know, morally straight people in the whole nine yards. But folks, let me tell you something. If you're not born again, you will split hell wide open. And that's all there is to it. No, they were sinful people. Look what Peter says here. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Now, that was his heart. Folks, let me tell you something. You know what he did? He saw all these fish and everything. He saw this miracle that took place. And he said, you know something? No way in the world that this could have just happened. Amen. too many people turn around and say, well, yeah, but that could have happened, you know. No, no, it didn't happen like that. Amen? You know, God did something. Stop taking away the power of the Holy Spirit from and the glory from God and the Holy Spirit of God that works in our lives and things like that and performs a miracle for us. And no, it's God working. God doing some things. Amen? But he realized that the presence of God was there with them. And this man, this holy man that was on his boat, is the Son of God. It's the Christ. Later on, he turns around and says that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, there was no question in his heart. Why? Because he saw these things. Nicodemus came to him by night in John chapter 3 and says, we know that thou art come from God, for no man can do the miracles thou doest except God be with him. Amen? Those things didn't just happen. You made them happen. And you made them happen because you are God. That's what he's saying to him. Folks, let me tell you something. We got a wonderful God. In verse 9, he says, and he was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes that was taken. But look here at verse 11. They left all and followed him. And when they had brought their ship to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now think about that. They got two ships now that are filled with fish. And they walked off and left them. Amen? You know, I know that there's men that have had good jobs and all the rest, but God's spoken to their hearts about being a missionary, and they've left everything. They gave it up, and they went ahead and pursued being a missionary to some area, some place that God has burdened their heart about the people that were there. And he went. They went ahead and did that. They forsook all and followed him. Are you following Jesus? Let me read something to you. It's a poem. I thought maybe it might be helpful to you. Fisher of men, the blessed, out of the world's unrest, out of the sin's troubled sea, taketh us, Lord, to thee. Out of the waves of strife, with bait of blissful life, drawing their nets to shore with the choicest fish, good store. Are you a fisherman of men? God wants us to be. We ought to be winning souls, amen? The only way you can do that is put your pride aside and go ahead and share. Share with people. I'm not asking you to go out and cram it down somebody's throat. That's not what it's all about. Because they have to do it with their heart. With their heart, you see. But we can share the burden that we have for them. Father in heaven, I thank you for each one that's here this morning. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts, and whatever the need might be, maybe there's someone here that needs to be saved, needs to be born again so that they can go to heaven when they die. I pray, dear Lord, that you'll help them to get out of their seat and come down and trust Jesus Christ this morning as their Savior, being born again. Let us take a Bible and take them off to the side someplace and show them two or three verses out of the Bible of how they can be saved this morning. Now, Lord, I pray that if there's Christians here, people that have already done that, but they haven't followed through with baptism, maybe church membership, whatever the case may be, I pray that you'll help them to come and do what you want them to do. In Jesus' name, amen.